Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are we all doing today?
Wonderful.
I want to start off by saying what I share with you today and the stories you're going to hear today, you're a part of. You are a part of what happened in Nicaragua. You are a part of what happened last week at the Lebanon Area Fair, because Lebanon County Gideons distributed 650 testaments to the students. Praise the Lord for that. I don't know how many of you know my story with this trip. When Chuck was sent to Nicaragua at the end of May, I was kind of asked to go along with Chuck, and I prayed about it a little bit, and I really didn't feel led to go. And less than 2 weeks after I said no to the church, I was driving through Robazonia coming home, and my cell phone rang, and Trevor Johns from International Headquarters said to me, "Do you want to go on would you like to go on an international scripture blitz to Nicaragua?" I almost hit the parked car sitting as I was driving down the highway. I had to pull off the road. I just kept going, wow, wow. Of course, I had to go home and ask my wife, you know how that goes, but I went anyway. But I had this thought in my mind: how is the church going to react to me going and telling you that I said no to you, but I said yes to the Gideons? Well, thank you for your support. It was overwhelming, and because of your support for the Gideons International, lives have been changed in Nicaragua. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3 was the scripture verse for the week, and Dick Bishop, who was our team leader, when he was given this assignment, opened his Bible one day to that verse. And let me tell you, he showed us things we knew not. We arrived in Managua, and basically our headquarters was in Chinandega, and we spent time in León and points in between. And as we met at the airport in Managua, I was at the baggage carousel, and there was Larry, another Gideon, and he had a bag that was lost. And so I didn't know what to do, and he was looking for his bag, and I walked out the baggage area, met the team outside, and told my team leader the man had a bag that was lost. And so what the Gideons do, they pray. They pray for Larry's bag. We all gathered together and then started heading up to Chinandega, which is about a three-hour ride. And the three-hour ride to Chinandega took about 4.5 hours because of heavy traffic, congestion, and I'm not sure the driver knew exactly where he was going. And on the way, I witnessed a few things. There was dump trucks parked by the side of the road, and under one dump truck was a driver taking a nap underneath his truck in the side of the road. Another dump truck was there, and there was a hammock that guy had set up. He was taking a siesta in his hammock on a dump truck. I thought that was pretty interesting. But when we got to the hotel, Larry's luggage was there before we showed up. And Cesar, who was a national field officer, told us that doesn't happen in Nicaragua. When your baggage is lost, you can pretty much kiss it goodbye. Cesar and Maria, he is a national field officer, and he was responsible for the country Nicaragua. He's also put this scripture blitz together. That's a team of Gideons that were there. There was nine of us from the America and one from South Africa. To my left is Ronnie. He was my interpreter. And I'm going to back up a little bit. When I was called through with the Gideons, I said to Dan Dower, I said, you know, I think God wants me here for a reason. You know, and I think Ronnie is one reason why I was there. He's a young Christian. And when I presented the gospel, he had to interpret that. So the whole week he got to hear how the gospel can be interpreted. And I think he learned a little bit from that. This is Sergio. He's a Gideon, about 9 years. He is a photographer by trade, and we used his car the week of the scripture blitz. And to the left of Sergio is Lazaro. He's a welder by trade and also a Gideon. I'm pushing the wrong button. This is a garbage collector. He came to the hotel to collect garbage. He accepted the Lord Monday morning, along with the security officer who accepted the Lord Monday morning. Sunday afternoon, we went in town, the Shenandoah. We were at a little gift shop in the corner, and you have 10 Gideons in a gift shop full of testaments, and guess what we were doing? We were just witnessing to the people in the streets. When I seen this man cross the street, the Lord put this verse in my mind. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Proverbs 22:2. When this gentleman crossed the street, I gave him a testament, of course, in Spanish, and I was speaking English. I recited that verse to him, and I doubt he understood it, but hopefully when he opens God's word, he will find that verse. This is the Pacific Ocean. This is a kind of a resort where people can relax in. There's an open-air restaurant we spent there, and the picture was taken about 10 feet from the pile of garbage on the street. So when you talk to travel agents, don't let the pictures fool you, because there's other parts that they're not showing you. The church I spoke in Sunday evening is the entrance to the children having Sunday school outside the church. Breakfast one morning, and John led this specific hotel worker to the Lord. And John here is from North Carolina, and he's in the same camp of a Gideon who I spend time with in Thailand. Well, it's a small world, you know, and so I thought that was pretty interesting. Basically, this is how our day started. Up at 5 o'clock in the morning, we had prayer and instructions from 6 to 6:15. 6:15 to 7 o'clock, we had breakfast, and then 7 o'clock, we were outside meeting our teams and getting together. And well, there's also another prayer session before we left for the day. There was 170,000 scriptures set aside for this blitz. And we had two different storage areas. This is one storage area, and you see the other one later on. But this is how International Headquarters works. This is how stupid I am. I would send 175,000 scriptures to Nicaragua for the blitz. But they do about 1 million scriptures a year. So International Headquarters sent them 1.2 million scriptures for the year. And these guys had to unload those scriptures from whatever port that they were at to bring them into the country. And then they had to set aside 170,000 for us. These guys worked, okay? And at this truck stop, I got to talk to these gentlemen. And one of those gentlemen is a Christian. I don't know which one it is, but the other two got testaments. And I got to talk to them for a few minutes. This is an entrance to the school. All the school entrances basically look like this. Security is pretty tight. No matter where you went, there were security guards. And I got to tell you, we passed the bank, and the guard guarding the bank had a solid shotgun strapped to himself. We seen a money truck one day, and out of the money truck came three guys, big guys, with solid shotguns hanging on their shoulders. Now, if that doesn't deter you, I don't know what will. That was a pretty interesting sight. But anyway, drinking fountain. And this basically was my presentation to the schools. They walk in, we say, good morning. We're from the Gideons, and we're here today to give you a special gift. Your very own copy of God's word. And in the front of this testament is a place that you can sign your name. And also in the front of the testament is a help section that has all the answers to life's questions. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us all have sinned. We all have done something wrong. And God knew that. And he sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross for us and was raised the third day for our salvation. And how many of you today would like to accept Christ as your Savior? And of course, hands would go up. And if you want to accept Christ as your Savior, in the back of the book is a prayer. And by time, kids already have signed the book, and they turn to the back, and then we would recite this prayer. Confessing to God that I am a sinner, and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, the words are small, and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior. And how many of you kids have actually done that and meant that in your heart? More hands would go up. I said, if you've done that, in the back of the book, you can sign your name and date it when you accepted Christ as your Savior. I also said this. There is only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Because Catholicism is big in that country, and I figured they had to hear that. Okay? And anybody that I present the gospel to heard that. And when I witness one-on-one to people, I ask this question also. If you were to die tonight, do you know where you would go? And the answers usually were no. And then I would say, do you want to know? And usually they would say yes. This is an entrance to a school that we were at. Just to give you some of the landscape, we're unloading scriptures from Sergio's car to go to this school. I want you to meet Jose. And after giving the presentation, and after people having signed their books, Jose, this young lad here, came up and talked to my interpreter. And when Jose sat down, I said to my interpreter, what did he say? He said, no one has ever given me a Bible, and no one has ever prayed with me before. That was worth the plane ticket right there. And I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Do not underestimate the decisions that these kids make, because a lot of pastors in Nicaragua tell us, because they received the testament at a young age, is why they're pastors today. In America, the age limit for distributions is fifth grade. And we do international scripture blitzes, we try to do 10 years old. You know, it hit me last night, I said to Sean, where is 10 years in fifth grade? I mean, how close is that? But it really doesn't matter. But this classroom, I almost passed by because I thought the kids were too young. And we did pass by a lot of classrooms because they were too young, because of they can't read. But I thought, you know what? I can't say no. So I walked in this classroom and present the gospel, and then some more names written in the Lamb's Book of Life that day. Children may not remember all that was learned in school, but they will remember when the Gideons were there. A picture is worth a thousand words. We were in a couple of jails. I was not. John, who you seen earlier, led this lad to the Lord. Gideon was in another jail, and they were talking to the prisoners. And as Gideon said, as he was praying with these prisoners, when he got done praying, the one prisoner was on his knees in his cell, accepting the Lord as his Savior. Some of the jails were crowded. Some were pretty smelly. But we were there, and lives were changed. Again, this is what they use. A man's taking firewood home, I would imagine. So, and then when you drive up and down the major highway, the animals are grazing by the side of the road, which was interesting. They got horses tied grazing. I mean, they're skinny animals, but that's what they use. This specific school that I was at presented the gospel to the kids. I gave my speech, and back here is a kid sitting on a bicycle. And we got finished with there. He heard everything I said to these kids. And we got finished there. I walked up to him, gave him a testament, and explained again the testament and the plan of salvation through my interpreter. And when I said to him, do you want to accept Christ as your Savior? He looked at me, he turned his head, and he spit in the ground. I thought, well, that's a no. So I bid the boy a good day, gave him a testament, and off we went. We had some opposition. Not everybody was always open to the gospel. Tip Top Chicken is a franchise like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And when we walked into Tip Top Chicken, Lorenzo and Sergio gave all the workers a testament. And when I got finished eating, this gentleman started asking questions. And we had about a 20-minute conversation. He's a new Christian and had a couple of questions about his salvation, and he still sins, and can I be forgiven, and all types of things. We spent 20 minutes talking. I thought that was pretty neat because he wasn't harassed by management. If it was management, I don't know. But it was just a good day talking to that gentleman. We were outside another strip mall waiting for the local to arrive. And this is Juan Mendoza and Carlos Manuel. And they were sitting in a delivery truck. And with my interpreter, I gave them two testaments and again explained the plan of salvation and went through all that and asked the question, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you're going to go? And they said, no. Well, thank the Lord. They prayed to receive Christ as your Savior in the parking lot of that little area somewhere in Chinandega. And the gentleman to the far right was with them also, and he was already a Christian. So my encouragement to him was to help these young lads along in their walk with the Lord. Dave Webster isn't here. This was for him. I took about 900 and some pictures, and when I do pictures, when I go across the ocean, I do a lot of infrastructure. And so, anyway. This is a place the locals took us to, a little establishment. Coffee is really great. It's good coffee. We had coffee, some drinks, fruit drinks, and snacks and stuff. But before we left, this gentleman here signed that back of his book, Accept the Lord as the Savior. Again, this is the second place where we had storage, where the Bibles are stored. And going down this dirt lane here, there's the outside of the building. And when you go through the walls, it's open inside. I guess it was a church at some point in time. They're doing some construction in there. But again, we had another pile of scriptures that we can go get. And we went there pretty often. About four or five times we were at that specific spot. And the one day that we were there, this gentleman lives, that's his home. And he was painting his piece of tin red. And I was talking to him, and gave him a testament. And through the interpreter, he had to put down his paintbrush and his bucket of paint to accept the Lord as his Savior. So lives have been changed on this distribution. Anybody who works in an office, I want you to see the laptop that they have. That's what they use to type. And when's the last time you seen a typewriter? Right? But this is what they have. I mean, and they don't complain. We sang a song, Count Your Blessings. Okay, when I came home from this trip, the first thing I told people was thank God for what he's given you. Because these people have nothing for the most part. Poverty is high and they do not complain. And they're open to the gospel. Now, sitting at the fair this past week, you get people walking by the booth there and you say hello to them. They don't look at you, they're straight ahead, there's no response. And it's like, boy, you have no idea. You know, it's difficult here than it is down there. But another school that we spoke at, and those kids were intently listening, and about 100 and 120 kids there were given Bibles, and some accepted the Lord, and hopefully it was good. This is to Teresa and Patricia. We're standing outside that assembly. And when I got to talk to them through the interpreter, gave them testaments, went through the plan of salvation, and they graciously prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is William. William is one of our drivers. That's his father. They're both Gideons. William and his wife have a school in Chinandega. His father has a car parts business, and then they were both active in the distribution and in the scripture blitz, and both the wives helped. There was four auxiliary who helped with distributions also, and those women worked. There was a hospital that they were in the first day, gave out 1,000 testaments. Then I've been told there was four floors, no elevator, and no air conditioning. So if you got sick in Chinandega, I guess you sweat it. This particular school that we stopped at was a sidewalk. As they came out the door, we handed out scriptures. And while we were setting up, this gentleman came up to me out of nowhere. And Renario is his name. He had some kind of greasy food in one hand, was eating with the other, and he walks up to me and says, I want one of those Bibles. I need one of those Bibles. He says, I'm dirty and I want to be clean. So he wiped his hand on his shirt, I gave him a testament, and then we got to talking. And I told him, only through the blood of Jesus can you be clean. Then he wanted to have his faith reaffirmed. He wanted to take me home to preach to his family, which couldn't happen. And so he accepted Christ. Not long after he was there, this gentleman and a friend of his I talked to them. They accepted the Lord. And this picture was taken about 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the distribution. And after he was giving his testament, these people were reading their Bibles intently. This lady also accepted the Lord at that specific spot. In 20 minutes, about 20, 25 minutes time, four people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ before that distribution even started. Thank you for your support. This lady works in the specific school that she's in. The testament she has is 30 years old. And she tells us that she's been reading the testament for 30 years. She says her life has changed, but she's not yet ready to give her heart to Lord Jesus Christ. She just isn't ready. She's waiting for the right time. And I said to Ronnie, a few days later, he told me this. I said, why didn't you tell me that when we were there? I said, today's a day of salvation. You know, you never know when the Lord's going to take your last breath. But anyway, he told me that William already has witness to her. But according to a certain book that we're reading, it takes about 7.6 times per person to hear the gospel before they're saved. That's a book we must talk about sometime, you and I. Anyway, another lady who accepted the Lord, this specific school, this headmaster here, was very excited for us to be there. He took us room to room in his school, and he heard the gospel every time we presented it. This is a faculty, and I believe one or two of those people came to know Jesus. They seem pretty excited. This teacher here has a prayer ministry. He has a prison ministry, and he was looking for Bibles. So I got to give him Cesar's business card that he can contact Cesar, so Cesar can supply him with Bibles for his prison ministry. We distributed our 2 billionth copy of God's Word this past year. And all the heads of state are going to be given a commemorative Bible. They tried to contact Daniel Ortega. And this is what the Bible looks like. And when Dick Bishop told us that they had a Bible, I said, I need pictures of that. And it would have been a blessing to hand Ortega this Bible. But he was nowhere to be found. When we tried to contact him, he didn't want to be bothered. And so that's what it looks like, folks. This Bible is going to be presented to our president if he so desires to accept it, and keep that in prayer. We're in 200 countries, and the heads of state on those 200 countries are going to be receiving one of those should they choose to receive it. Keep that in prayer. We had opposition. We had 5 vehicles break down. William's vehicle was impounded. This vehicle, this is Sergio's car. This car gave us trouble in the parking lot of the hotel. It gave trouble at the station where we're picking up Bibles. We prayed for this car. I said, we're going to pray for this car because God can heal that too. 2 miles down the road, it broke down altogether. So anyway, we got it turned around, and Cesar had a little tow chain in his car. And so we're towing his car back to the hotel, and the local Gideons are singing praises to the Lord. You know, something else happened while we were there. Sergio, Ortega's wife is a witch. And Thursday evening at our meeting, we were told, first off, the following Tuesday after our distribution, the teachers had a teacher's day off. When Ortega's wife found out we were there, she gave the teachers off Thursday afternoon, Friday, and the following Monday to try to disrupt their distribution. But the enemy has been defeated. Amen. And there's victory in Jesus. So what she tried to do really didn't affect anything while we were there. This is an area where William's car was impounded. He was inside trying to get his car out. And we're standing around outside the street corner there, and these gentlemen have a taxi service. And so guess what we did? Present the gospel. But they weren't too receptive. They could have really cared less. But anyway, they were given a copy of God's word, and off we went. This is a school that we were going to, the inroad to the school. We got there late, and the kids were leaving. And we started handing out testaments through the window. And it came to a point where I said, let me out the car. and I'll just walk up to the kids and give them to them. And they were sitting on the banks of this road going in, and we did a distribution as we walked into this school. And it was pretty neat. It was a neat experience. And so this guy came to pick up his daughter at school, and they were giving a testament. And this is the inside of the school, and of course, no one was there because they all left. And as we exit the school, as we came out the road that we went in, it was interesting to me, a week or two after this happened, the kids were on the bank, lined up, as school let out. They were sitting there doing nothing. And they got their testaments. We came out the same road, they were gone. They were nowhere to be found. And it's just like the Lord had them sitting there waiting for us to show up to give them testaments. And I'm not saying that is real, but that's, you know, the thoughts that you get. And this gentleman back here was reading his Bible intently as we drove up until I could snap the picture. He was looking up at us. As we left the school and going back to town, we passed this family here. Carlos, Jose, Carla, and Maria. And I said to Sergio, I said, stop the car. I want to get out. Stop the car. So Sergio stopped the car. Ernie and I got out. And this, I don't know what he's doing with his donkey and his pallets, whatever he was doing. But gave him a testament, told him who we were, took him to the plan of salvation. And they, all three of them accepted the Lord that afternoon. And it's kind of strange because you have a car go past you, and two strange guys get out and give you a Bible and start talking to you. You know, it's just, they're so receptive. I mean, it's easy to talk to people in the country about the Lord. It's easy. I hate to use that word because it's not easy, but it is. You know, and it's just, it was a blessing, an overwhelming feeling. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I don't know what else to say. A tech school that we were at, they were actually working on the mechanics, and that the teacher stopped the school and allowed us to present them with testaments. And they really weren't too receptive. I mean, no one accepted the Lord. They took their testaments. This group of kids were a lot more receptive than the rest of them. There was a classroom inside the school where ladies were doing sewing. They were teaching, I guess, how to use sewing machines, and they weren't receptive at all. But they still got copies of God's word. Seeds have been planted. Just pray for the salvations of these people. There's a New Holland dealership. I'm going to be talking to Lancaster County people in a few weeks, so that's kind of for them. John Deere is big down there. A lot of John Deere tractors. So this is the beginning of a development. This is the beginning of a development. Count your blessings, okay? Count your blessings. Well, this kid's just kind of broke my heart when I took that picture. But these are people's homes, okay? This is how they live. And I cannot imagine. I can't imagine. I've seen a lady sweeping the dirt. Like we sweep a pavement, we're sweeping the dirt. And it has a pile of rubbish that are collected to get rid of. So count your blessings, okay? This is a school that we were at, and those are plastic bottles. And that's how they recycle plastic bottles, okay? They do artwork in the dirt. Our pastor's banquet was Friday evening, and before the pastors arrived, Dick Bishop there and John led that lady to the Lord, another hotel worker. And I got to tell you, the pastor's banquet that we had in Nicaragua was the second best banquet I was at next to the International Convention last year in Philadelphia. We had 122 people fill the room. And one of the pastors brought the shofar, thank you, and he played that thing and he knew how to use it. An hour after the meeting was over, the pastors prayed for us and we prayed for them. And I got to tell you what, Cesar, and this is for you guys too, Cesar said, he said, I believe the church is going to grow because the testaments that were handed out, it's going to bring people in. Now, pastor's been preaching to us for years that we're going to make this church grow. He's not going to do it, we are. Because when we walk the streets and present the gospel to people and tell them what Jesus has done for us, do the same thing for them. That's how we're going to fill these seats. And pastor's going to shepherd us as we do that. So, after all we experienced that week, we thought we'd seen it all. The poverty, the people. And we left for the airport at the hotel Saturday morning about 6:30. And about 2 miles out of Shenandoah, that we passed two accidents. And the first accident, the wreckage was there, but the people were gone. But the second accident, two motorbikes had a head-on collision. And amongst the wreckage was two lifeless bodies laying in the gutter. A short time before we got there, two people entered eternity. I looked at my Gideon brother and I said, I wonder if they were given a testament. I wonder if they knew the Lord. I wonder if a Christian walked by them and didn't say a word. It's too late. Just as Dick Bishop opened his Bible to Jeremiah 33, Sunday afternoon, I opened my Bible, and this is what I read. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of the people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sword, he heard the sound of the trumpet, he took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take up any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Brothers and sisters, what kind of a watchman is the Heart of Christ Church going to be? As you walk the streets of Lebanon County, are you going to be the watchman that warns the people? Are you going to be the watchman that walks away and doesn't say a word? And the only way these seats are going to be filled is if you warn the people. Amen. Behind every number is a face. And behind every face is a soul. And behind every soul, behind every face is a story. And behind every story is a soul. Thank you for your support. And God bless.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.